Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Edits or additions that need to be made. Commissioner Smith, Commissioner Eddington.
It's good, sir.
Commissioner Calkins.
Just have a little discussion item.
On commissioner items or something?
Just commissioner items.
All right.
It's Damian Graves. I am actually a disabled veteran of the Marine Corps. I do First Amendment audits now. Found a video online, Mr. Eddington. I have your uninvited attention, I can tell, and I'm sure you know what video I'm referring to. It hurts me to my heart to see someone we pay with our taxes that we elected berate someone else for recording in a public forum. So I brought the First Amendment. Not only that, but our state law, anything that is in a public forum or a public place, paid by taxes in the public, sidewalk, it doesn't matter. Anybody can record. Anybody can take pictures, post office, the driver's license office, in here. Only place that is exempt from that is a courtroom per the judge. That is the only place.
Now, if you don't remember, sometimes when we're following the drama of legal troubles for the Escambia County Commission or the drama of the bickering at the Milton City Council meetings or the drama that has suddenly resurfaced at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. I know it's a lot of Russian novels and Mexican soap operas to track, but, you know, here we go. You may remember, and if you don't, that's why I'm here, is that it was 2 weeks ago, we had a little dust-up between, I guess it was a week ago anyway, between Romy White of the South Santa Rosa News, publisher, a friend, and Ray Eddington, county commissioner in Santa Rosa County, when he said a bunch of things about her that, you know, well, here.
I have a platform to say it. Why
don't you come up and speak?
I don't need to.
Well, I'm going to speak to you then.
Go ahead.
I'm tired of your lies about me. No, you be quiet. I'm speaking right now. I'm speaking. Stuff you have put out about me is not true. Take your phone down. You ain't going to take pictures of me. Would y'all please remove her? Because we are not going to take pictures.
Hold on.
That escalated super quickly, but he reiterated later on because Romy was taking a video of him, and he did not like that, and tried to get the deputy to take her out for taking a video of him in a public meeting, and then he said,
if I can have you removed from this building, I would.
Which is a double down on the whole, you know, how dare you video me in a public place kind of concept.
I do not have no feelings for you anymore. I thought you was a very nice lady, but you are not. You are an evil lady.
So it was a little light interaction. So Damian Graves is the Marine who shows up and says, you know, hey, you can't do that. That's a violation of the First Amendment. What's wrong with you?
So after that video, we are going to have a team of First Amendment auditors going through Santa Rosa County now. They're probably going to come to your office. So please make yourself familiar with this First Amendment. And to fight for this right and these freedoms for our country, I have a brain injury and a shoulder injury from being shot in Iraq. It is disheartening to see that video online. I do believe you owe the person that you attacked an apology publicly, because I fought for those rights. You're supposed to uphold those rights, sir.
I agree, actually. He does owe her an apology for threatening to have her removed over what, videotaping? It's super weird. So later on in the meeting,
I lost my temper last meeting, I admit that. When you take so much, you just gotta let it out. I'm sorry for you all to be sitting here listening through it.
Okay, so far it's not an apology, right? I took so much abuse and mistreatment that at a certain point I couldn't help myself anymore. Like, you know, I'm sorry for hitting you, but if you hadn't nagged me so much, I mean, that's right. I mean, isn't that what he said?
I lost my temper last meeting. I admit that. When you take so much, you just got to let it out.
Am I wrong? Jimmy, am I reading this wrong? But it's not an apology, right?
I'm sorry for you all to be sitting here listening through it.
Sorry that you had to endure my outburst.
And I appreciate this guy here serving. He's one of them that served, and while we got our rights today.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not apologize for what I said to certain people. But I am letting it go. It's in the past. It's over with, as far as I'm concerned. If she walks up, I would speak to her. But it's over with. We got to move on. That's the way it's got to be.
I'm so confused by this. So he's apologizing for, I guess, being angry in saying a thing he's not apologizing for. So I wasn't wrong, but I said it wrong. Or I said it too. I mean, I guess I don't really understand how that's an apology, but okay.
Yes, I apologize for losing my temper. But I just took so much.
Again.
And I hope everybody dropped this and move on.
You can't apologize and self-justify. It's one or the other. Right? You either apologize or you self-justify. When you do both, it's self-justifying. Right? I mean, that's kind of the answer on this. But okay, so... We're having this conversation. By the way, this is a long conversation that they had all about this. Now, going back a little bit earlier in the meeting, because that was more kind of the relevant progression of things. You had, I guess I'm going to do it in this order. Commissioner Carrie Smith, said he wasn't going to talk about this because Romy wasn't there. I think her daughter was at the state volleyball competition, I think that's the case. Anyway, so that's why part of why she wasn't there. I think her daughter plays at Navarre. Anyway, so Carrie Smith says he wasn't going to talk about it, but here we are.
I wasn't going to address this, but I cannot help myself at this point because I saw that the culprit, Mrs. Romy White, was not in the room.
The culprit.
So being as we're going to have somebody that's going to defend her actions, I will take this on.
So, because it got brought up, and James Calkins had made some comments about, I'll play those for you later. Those are extra special. You'll like it.
Number one, I have a hard time putting her in the category of press. I consider her a citizen. Number one, the reason why is press does not act as she does.
She runs the South Santa Rosa News. You can disagree with her editorial position. You can disagree with the way she runs the newspaper or the online, Facebook and on a website. It's kind of weird to say she's not press. Just because you don't like the way somebody does their press doesn't mean they're not press.
This is an email that was sent to me by her at one time, April 8th, from publisher at SouthSantaRosaNews.com. Game on, Brother Smith! Of course, the next morning I got up and I answered her email. I said, Madam, it is very unfortunate that you believe that this to be a game. You are attempting to play a game that will affect the lives of the citizens of Santa Rosa County. Let me simplify this for you, because I can see that your hate for me is blinding you from noticing the consequences of your actions. You are attempting to sabotage the economic development of this great county, and I, for one, will not tolerate such behavior without calling it out. She answered the email. "Just don't smack me or push me, please!" Exclamation point.
Because of the town hall.
Now, this is the kind of behavior I do not see from any other members of the press. That's why I have a hard time calling her press.
I mean, again, you don't like that she's opinionated. You don't like that she disagrees with you, that she has particular editorial lean. That doesn't make her not press. I mean, you might say, she might not be neutral news. I'm not neutral news. I don't know. It's just, I don't really understand the argument here that, you know, just because you don't like that she's got an opinion that you disagree with. I disagree with her a lot. I mean, that doesn't make her not press. I disagree with the PNJ and other people. It doesn't mean, you know, some news organizations prefer to be, you know, mere reporters. Some news organizations are a hybrid of reporting and opinion. Some are just opinion. Some are more reliable than others, but they're all, I mean, they're all in the category. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure some people would like to say I'm not news or press because I give opinion. Well, you know, I think opinion is an appropriate part of doing the news, because why wouldn't you share an informed opinion if you feel like you understand what's going on in the world pretty well? You ought to tell people what you think about it. So, you know, I don't know. Just, I think Kerry's just got a different definition of what qualifies as journalism or something like this. But he goes on with a lot of examples like, you know, the eavesdropping with James Calkins allegations, which, you know, we talked about that before. He says taking pictures of speakers at the public the forum is weird.
This is the silliness that we cannot allow to be happening. And to call her a member of the press, I saw her operating, taking pictures of people that were up at the podium, going in front of them. The press never does this. Nobody in the press ever goes in front of this podium and starts taking pictures of somebody standing on. These are citizens that are coming up here to talk about things that they're sitting here trying to say. They're nervous. They're already approaching this dais.
I don't know. I watch Channel 3, and Channel 3 shows video of speakers from the side front, so you can get video while they're speaking. It seems super normal to me. There's actually, you know, if you go on the YouTube or the video feed for any of your county or city council meetings, you see the speaker. There's an alternating camera shot between of the council and of the speakers. And, you know, but if you're in the room, you want to get it yourself instead of having to go rely on the video. Like, I've shot video. I don't go to meetings a lot, but a couple of times that I have, it's very normal to shoot video of something like that.
Who in the press, legitimate press, picks a side on incorporation in their press releases? It's up to the people. It's okay for you to do it in your Romy White world, but don't go over here to publisher and then say, I'm part of the press, and make this something like that. If you're going to be a member of the press, then act like a member of the press.
Well, again, I just feel like Kerry has kind of got this weird, particular notion of what journalism is or what news is, as though having opinion or viewpoint is not a part of it. And I'm sure some people have that view, but that many people maybe have that view, but that doesn't make it not journalism. It doesn't make it not press. It just means it's not your kind of press. Again, I know lots of news organizations where opinion is a part of the presentation, right? At least it's a follow-on to presenting the facts. That's how I always think of it, is my job is to learn the facts and then tell you what I think about it. You can disagree with me if you want, but it doesn't make it not. I don't know. It's just it's a weird position to take.
Commissioner Eddington, yeah, I know you didn't mean it when you were telling her to turn off the camera, but I know how sometimes it just burns you up and you get a little too emotional. We're human beings up here. I know that you didn't mean to try to take away any rights.
Oh, I don't know. He did say it twice. I thought he very clearly wanted to have her removed. He might regret that. He might, if he were to apologize, which he didn't really apologize for it. I'm all fine, but trying to give him cover saying, you know, again, you were just upset, like it wasn't really his fault, you know, for how he reacted. So I don't, this all seems to be a misfire, I think, by Commissioner Smith. And I like Commissioner Smith, you know, I don't have any problem with him. I just think anybody can be right, anybody can be wrong on any particular issue. I haven't played the clips by him. I'll play it later on in the show, but I'll tell you right now, I actually thought James Calkins was right in most of what he said about all this. That she is a member of the press, and the fact that you don't like the way she's doing it, that doesn't really mean anything. I do agree James Calkins is always trying to capitalize for political effect. That's one of the things that he said. But, you know, I basically thought that everything James Calkins said about this was correct.
This agenda item was all about the Constitution and protecting our rights and freedom of speech. We just heard about 10 minutes of llama drama, dirty laundry, and garbage.
Llama drama is my new favorite expression.
I just want to say that, yes, a lot of press people come up here and they take pictures of me and him and the board. They stand up there, they put video cameras, they go over there. That is completely normal for members of the press to take pictures of everybody, to film all of us. That is within the bounds of the First Amendment and the Constitution.
Yeah, again, it's a public meeting. That's the whole idea. And it's, I don't know, it's extraordinarily normal for photojournalists of any kind or video journalists of any kind to wander around during an event, whether it's a ceremony or whether it's a baseball game or a football game or a public meeting, and take the video or photos that they want. So, I understand that Carrie and Ray are upset with Romy and don't like her and maybe don't like the way she runs her organization or like her viewpoint, but so? I mean, and by the way, they're fully within the... they're fully within their rights to criticize her and say they don't like her. They're even within their rights to say that she's not press or news. My job is to, in my opinion, my job is to kind of analyze the things people say and see if they make sense. I'm not saying they can't say this. I'm not saying they shouldn't say this. I'm saying it's dumb when they're saying it. That's the whole point. 526 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
I feel occasional burning and stabbing in my hands as I age.
I sometimes feel numbness and tingling in my feet as I get older.
It's starting to get in the way of doing what I love.
At Nervive, we hear you, and we can help. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use.
Now that I know, I'm taking control.
Try Nervive Nerve Relief and say yes to healthy nerves.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Uh-oh!
You've just discovered you have...
rats! Ew! What do I do? How do you get rid of them? I haven't a clue.
To get rid of the rats is no problem at all. The solution's inside Davis Hardware and U-Haul.
Hi, how can we help you?
I have a rat problem.
Oh, rats.
Literally, what do I do?
Davis Hardware and U-Haul employees are real hardware people and know what happens when infestations get out of hand. They have the experience to help you get rid of your, uninvited guests.
Thank you.
Davis Hardware and U-Haul on L Street just off Fairfield in the center of Pensacola.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
Put down the gun.
Gentlemen, this is your first hop. The jet you are flying.
When I set up?
Oh, thank you. I'll take care of it. Give each other $20, okay? Put it on Underhill.
Muchas gracias.
Señor del Fuego.
If you love me, come on, get involved. Feel it rushing through you from your head to toe. Oh, 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 oh.
Good morning, 529 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Bad weather today and tonight, up to 5 or 6 possibly inches of rain in our vicinity. Hail, tornadoes. It sounds like Ming the Merciless is coming for us. We'll see how bad it gets. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Boy, that doesn't sound good. Somebody call the Ghostbusters. What's going on here? Weekend graduation ceremony saw dozens of walkouts and protest over the Israel-Hamas war. At Duke University's graduation on Sunday, a group of students walked out during Jerry Seinfeld's commencement address. In New Jersey, about 60 students at Rutgers University walked out, and a similar scene played out at UC Berkeley.
Yeah, no, it's amazing to me that suddenly in America, and maybe not so suddenly, but suddenly in America, people have the idea that the way to be an American is to not listen to the people who disagree with you. Or to try to stop the people who disagree with you from speaking. Both of those are anti-America. Like, the principle of the First Amendment is let other people disagree with you and even listen to other people when they disagree with you. But no, we're going to protest and walk out on a speaker like Jerry Seinfeld because he's such a horrible human being.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former Trump attorney Michael Cohen is expected to testify today at the former president's criminal hush money trial in New York about paying off the former adult film star Stormy Daniels.
In 2018, Cohen was sentenced to 3 years in prison after pleading guilty to 9 federal charges, including one related to the payment made to Daniels. Trump denies having any role in falsifying records to conceal the payment, but Cohen says he was directed to make that payment.
Fox's Brooks Singman. 26 months into the war in Ukraine, Russian President Vladimir Putin promotes and replaces his defense minister.
Sergei Shoigu was Russia's minister of defense for 12 years, but now he's been replaced. The 68-year-old reappointed to Russia's Security Council. In Shoigu's shoes comes Andrei Belousov, an economist with no military background.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The goal, a spokesman says, is military innovation. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we do have mostly cloudy skies at 74 degrees in Pensacola. One person was shot last night at the Paparazzi nightclub in Pensacola. Police say that happened about 9 p.m. inside of the club on East Gregory Street. Officers say when they arrived, they found one male with a gunshot wound. PPD says officers did start doing life-saving measures on the victim, who was then taken to a local hospital. Now, right now, we don't have any update on his current condition. Crime scene units currently processing that scene. The shooting does remain under investigation. And if you have any information on what happened there, you should call Pensacola Police or Crime Stoppers if you'd like to remain anonymous. 18 people were shot over the weekend at a big May Day party at an open field in the Stockton area in Baldwin County. That party happened at a property on Upper Bryant's Landing Road. The sheriff's office there says there were about 1,000 people at this gathering. Witnesses say it was peaceful until an argument broke out. Then at least one subject began shooting into that crowd. Deputies say there may have been multiple shooters. 18 people were shot in total. 3 have now died from their injuries. The Baldwin County Major Crimes Unit is investigating the incident. Law enforcement is asking anybody with information on what happened to contact them. Well, the National Weather Service is confirming that a tornado did touch down in Santa Rosa and Okaloosa counties during the storms on Friday morning. The Weather Service says the storm started along State Highway 4 northwest of Munson, peaked at about 115 miles an hour. The storm traveled mostly parallel to Highway 4, snapped power lines and pine trees. It was classified as an EF2. The Weather Service also says that tornadoes left a wake of destruction in Leon County that morning. They say 3 tornadoes touched down there, 2 EF2s and 1 EF1. An interesting video posted by NAS Pensacola last week is seemingly teasing at something big at the Homecoming Air Show in November. The video shows a picture of the Blue Angels flying in formation with the Air Force Thunderbirds. Then it shows the text, celebrating one small step. Now, the NAS has not confirmed one way or the other whether the Thunderbirds will be joining the lineup in November, but they did tell Channel 3 that they are, quote, looking forward to what will be a remarkable experience. The NAS Pensacola Blue Angels Homecoming Air Show is scheduled for November 1st and November 2nd. It is 5:34 at News Radio Pensacola, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Showers and thunderstorms through the morning hours, severe weather possible, damaging winds, possibility of hail, and a tornado threat in these storms. They will move out as we go into the afternoon, but move back in as we go into the evening hours. High today near 80 degrees, low tonight near 72. Showers and thunderstorms for Tuesday morning come to an end around 2 to 3 a.m. We'll still see some slight rain chances Tuesday afternoon, high near 83, low near 72. Much calmer on Wednesday, mostly sunny, 10% chance of rain, high near 86. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And it is 534, 74 degrees in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, and 68 in Milton. And again, we are under a thunderstorm watch and a flood watch today here in our area. 535, your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Apple workers in Towson, Maryland have voted to authorize a strike after being the first Apple store to unionize. The vote followed what the union called over a year of negotiations with Apple management that yielded unsuccessful outcomes. The workers are seeking changes in what they call unpredictable scheduling practices and wages that align with the local cost of living. No date has been set for the strike. CNBC reports Arms, in which SoftBank has a 90% stake, will set up an artificial intelligence chip unit to build a prototype by spring of next year. SoftBank is in discussion with contract manufacturers, including Taiwan's TSMC, to produce the AI chips. Mass production is slated to begin in the fall of 2025. Arms shares have risen nearly 45% so far this year, and its market capitalization stands at over $113 billion, according to LSEG. Data. Futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
Change. Positive change is happening all around us. Greater Pensacola is growing. And that's why I joined the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Join us. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Join Tim Ireland from Forrest Jordan & Associates, the Generator Guys, Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tim will be sharing his expertise on home generators and what's involved in getting one for your home, information on why you would need one, system costs, and what a home generator can do for your home, and answer questions on how they work.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
New tornado warning just in effect now for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
At any time.
Looking at the map here, this is west of Bellevue, pushing eastward across West Pensacola.
When you need to know.
So this is the warned area. Now a tornado warning in effect until 2:03.
Severe weather can strike at any time. When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Is it cool or embarrassing when I do stuff like that while the music's playing, Jimmy? No comment. You look old and white. 538 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. On Friday, we had a good chance to talk to State Representative Alex Andrade, District 2, about a couple of very interesting topics. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Good to have you. So, you and I were talking yesterday about something that had been brought to your attention by one of our local sheriffs, and I want you to tell them what you told me, because it's amazing, quite frankly.
Yeah, and it's like ultimately it's just a bizarre loophole that now we're trying to address. So Sheriff Johnson a couple days ago gave me a call and said, hey, we're seeing an uptick in our traffic stops of vehicles that are registered in the driver's name, but that driver is not here in the country legally. They're an illegal immigrant. They don't have a driver's license and often don't have car insurance. So what is going on? We're not sure. How are illegal immigrants able to get these license plates and vehicles registered? So I called Scott Lunsford over in Escambia County, and he told me that the tax collector's offices are seeing an uptick in people showing up with passports that have been freshly issued from the Orlando consulate of the Mexican consulate in Orlando. By law, by rule, by agency rule at the Department of Highway Safety Motor Vehicles, all you need is a passport as your identification to get your tag and title issued by tax collectors. So it's a situation right now because the tax collectors aren't able to run those names when a passport's used to get tag and title, where, you know, the state, by our process, is having to issue these tag and title to vehicles to illegal immigrants. And then I think that's part of the reason why we keep seeing these stories about illegal immigrants getting in car accidents or causing deaths. And it's something that we need to try and address as soon as possible.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that we have people illegally crossing the border, going to the Mexican consulate in Orlando, the consulate whipping out its basement printing press for passports, pardon my embellishment, issuing them a passport, then they're going to the tax collector's office and getting a car registration, which the tax collector's office must process because a passport is a valid identification, no driver's license necessary, no ability to check to see if they're here in the country legally, no proof of insurance, but because they have a passport from a foreign country, we have to issue them a we have to issue them a registration for that car. Am I hearing this right?
The evidence is kind of showing right now. There's two big questions that I obviously needed help with. So
this is legal. This is legal. Right now, this is legal. There's nothing to prevent this. It's actually required.
Yeah. The two questions obviously are, has there been an uptick in passports being issued by the Mexican consulates in the state? There's one in Miami and Orlando. And what is the process for verifying car insurance? Because when you apply for a vehicle registration, you at least have to say that you have car insurance and maybe list some numbers. I don't know if that's fully verified or if they have the ability to verify that.
Okay.
What I do know is that the state has a contract with USCIS. It's the database to confirm whether or not someone is here in the country legally. Law enforcement often has access to that, but our tax collectors don't when they're issuing tag and title. So I reached out to Congressman Gates and Senator Scott yesterday. What I'm hoping can get done is the federal government can modify the contract with the state to allow our tax collectors to start running that, running those names through that database to confirm. And then also, I think the fastest solution right now is to at least try and make sure and verify the car insurance that's listed on these applications, because I don't know each private company exactly how they verify if someone has a driver's license to get their vehicle insurance. I can tell you that for motorcycles, you're not required to have insurance. So someone, an illegal immigrant right now, doesn't even have to show they have insurance to get a registration for a motorcycle. Hmm. But this is a serious situation where we're potentially, because of this kind of bizarre loophole, allowing people without driver's licenses for sure, and often without car insurance, to be driving on our roads when they, aren't even in the country legally.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I heard you right. The database to verify legal status that the tax collector has access to in order to issue, that is only a database that they are allowed to query for licenses. They're not allowed to query that for registrations. Did I hear you on that distinction?
Yeah, when you apply for your driver's license, you have the Real ID database, other databases like USCIS. You can run names through USCIS right now, but only for limited purposes, because the federal government has a contract with the state that prevents certain uses of that database. There's no valid use right now under that contract for tax collectors to verify citizenship before issuing tag and title, and that's something that needs to change as quickly as possible.
Okay. Yeah, no, definitely. All right. Wow. So, but I suppose the one small good takeaway is you're aware of it. The congressman and the senator, they're aware of it. We're working on the problem. And there may be a sort of a quick term solution in terms of actually verifying this proof of insurance, which, maybe had not been done or was not able to be done previously. That can happen without legislation. So that's good news. Aside from my astounding stunnedness, I guess, at that other story, I'm glad you guys are working on it. Wow, I just don't know what to say. It's amazing. The other question I had for you is, obviously, you're well aware of incorporation. It seems to be the hot issue for District 2. Last year with Perdido and this year with Navarre. I don't know if it's in vogue, although Navarre has been trying it for years. Something that came up in the conversation about incorporation the other day in Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, I thought was actually a very good question, was why does it have to be this way? Why does it have to be at the whim or will of the legislator why can't it be like running for office where you just go get your signatures or pay your fee and then you're in? You have a vote and you're done. Why does it have to be this kind of weird who wants what process, straw polls, all of that kind of stuff?
Well, I can say, first and foremost, the most dangerous words in government are, this is how we've always done it, right? It's not just like I'm from the government here to help. It's this is how we've always done it. That's the most dangerous phrase in government. And unfortunately, our statute's not been updated. And we do, because I think you described it as a paternalistic system where, you know, these folks who want to get a question on the ballot have to subject themselves to a paternalistic arbitrary system where, you know, it's like, whose line is it anyway? The rules are made up and
the points don't matter.
Don't matter or something.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's the situation we have. I think we'd be far better off if we had incorporation questions addressed more similarly to constitutional amendment questions where you have a certain percentage of the voting population that has to sign a petition. It's nowhere near 50%. I think for constitutional amendments, it's 10% of the voting population. I think that if we had a situation where for incorporation to get the question on the ballot for a vote, if you got, you know, say 15 or 20% of the voting population of the proposed area to sign a petition, and then you had your feasibility study checked by the Florida Department of Revenue and any other state agency that might need to check it, you should be able to have that question addressed just because it's not a question of whether or not it's going to pass, right? You shouldn't have to say, well, you can only have this question on the ballot if we know that more than 50% of people are going to vote
right.
for it. That's a ridiculous system. But you have to ask the question, is this a valid question that the voter should decide? And I think that the petition method is a far better method. Unfortunately, right now, it doesn't exist. It would have to require a statutory change. And that's something that Jerry Williamson took up one time. I don't know if it had a Senate sponsor. It didn't go anywhere. This is something that I really do want to address because I'm tired of, you know, having to answer folks who don't want incorporation and telling them why, even though I might agree with them, you know, it should be on the ballot. And I'm tired of being put in the position of being accused of supporting or opposing incorporation just because I'm trying to address the question of whether or not it should be in the ballot at all. I don't think that's a position that, you know, partisan elected officials should be in because then it's a disservice to voters. There's potentially some valid circumstances where incorporation should happen. I don't happen to think if I lived in Perdido or Navarre, I'd personally vote for incorporation. But, like, again, my personal bias, my personal subjective opinion should not be the deciding factor for whether or not a question is put on the ballot.
Right.
So, my plan right now is as long as I'm reelected to office for my last term, you know, I'll try and pass a law to make it far more similar to the constitutional amendment process than to this kind of weird paternalistic arbitrary process we have today.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's so odd. The, like, first of all, there's no regularity which legislator wants you to do which thing in which order. And as you say, you know, you shouldn't have to be like, please, mother, may I, you know, have a vote on this thing? You know, please, yeah. Please, sir, may I have some more democracy? you know, like, yeah. that's just not the way our system
right
is
now,
supposed to work.
It really is. The rules are made up and the points don't matter in this incorporation system we have right now.
It's crazy.
And it's something that should change. You know, the Supreme Court weighs in on the language for a constitutional amendment. And so long as you get your petitions and they're valid and you don't break the law when you're collecting them, you should have the question on the ballot. The same way, you know, if you really think incorporation is going to solve the problems in your community, I think so long as you're honest about the effects of incorporation and you collect your petitions and you do it in an honest and sincere way, you should have that question answered on the ballot.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I'm glad to hear that you're kind of ahead of the curve on this and, you know, thinking about how you might remedy that in the future anyway. Hey, last thing, just because, you know, I know we're still waiting on the budget, but, you know, you and I were talking a little bit off the air before you came on, and one of the huge win, at least I think it's a huge win for our college system and university and like Pensacola State and UWF and everybody else is a health insurance funding change, right?
Yeah, and the best part about Senator Broxton being my counterpart in the Senate is that he took care of all these big issues so I could focus on the little things, like a few million dollars here or there for our community. He was able to get $80 million recurring into the state budget that hasn't been signed yet, but God willing, it will be, to bring Pensacola State College and every state college in the state, their instructional staff, onto the state health insurance system, which they were not right now. What that will allow is for better recruitment of better staff members at these state colleges. Right now, there was a real-world example where a UWF professor left UWF to co-work at Pensacola State College. They got a salary pay bump, but they ended up losing money in the move because they didn't realize just how much more their health insurance for their family was going to cost when they left that state health insurance system. So for Senator Broxton to get $80 million in recurring funds into the state budget for our state college system was a massive legacy-defining win. One of the many he was able to get this year.
Oh, that's fantastic news. And as you say, God willing, the governor signs it. I appreciate it. Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2. Alex, good to talk to you again. Thanks for the time. And we look forward to an update on the Mexican illegal passport mill coming out of Orlando, letting them buy cars and drive on the road, whether they have insurance or legal status. Yikes. That's all I can say. Alex,
whodunit. Yeah.
Thanks for the time, sir. Always 551 here on News Radio Pensacola. Yeah, it's amazing. Now, some people have asked, well, do they not have to have proof of insurance? Well, they have to, again, they have to claim they have it. But there has not been a practice of verifying that, which is pretty time intensive to, you know, kind of make those verification calls. 551, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, and you heard all this talk about other people getting their cars, maybe you want to get one. I don't know, maybe. Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used vehicles. 1, 2, 3 years young, low miles, great condition. 300 or so in stock at any given moment. Trucks, vans, SUVs, sedans, you know, little runarounds, everything. Go look. Go see what they've got. One of the things you might notice when you're driving around town is that there's a lot of other people that have bought from Frontier Motors. Now, I usually give it 3 or 4 days and make it a game. Go out of your way to look for the bumper stickers and the license plate frames. And what you'll find, like, the first day is you might see one or none or two. And then the second day, you might see 3 or 4. And by about the third or the fourth day, you'd be like, did anybody buy a car anywhere else? Because you'll see them all over the place. And then, I hate to tell you this is the case, but you won't be able to not see them because they'll be everywhere. And that's the point, is there are so many different people that have bought from them and they go back and buy again a second, a third, a fourth car over the course of time because they treat you so right. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world. But what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. Today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Victory is mine!
Good morning, 5:54 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Taking a quick pick at the News Radio Threat Net Radar. Can I like completely diverge from what I was gonna say? You'll allow me, right? Who's gonna stop me? My mom used to do that when she would tell fairy tale stories. She would, you know, deliberately invert things, you know, so Sleeping Beauty became Beeping Slooty. You know, that kind of thing. And, you know, Woe Snight and the Dwevin Swarves, you know, or Beeping Slooty and her Poobies and Rurals, you know, that kind of, like, I don't know, Chintz Charming on his Trite Warger. You know, like, I mean, Prince Charming on his White Charger. See? No. And so that reminded me, today would have been her 80th birthday, and Mother's Day yesterday. Mother's Day often fell on her birthday. Also Friday the 13th, because it's the 13th. Anyway, and I miss her like hell. I do. She died in 2001, and just, I'm going to tell you this for the people who lost somebody, and maybe not that recently. You might never get over it. You might never get over it. I mean, if I dwell on it, I can still cry to this day, no problem. Because I think about things like, you know, my mom would have been a great grandma to my kids, and she never got to meet them, you know? And it's breast cancer sucks. And so anyway, just, I don't know. It's on my mind today, obviously, because it's her birthday, and yesterday was Mother's Day. But also just, you know, some things make me think about her. So my screw-up of the verbal gaffe made me think about her. What I was going to tell you is on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, if you go up north of Mobile, I don't know, 50 miles or so, you've got a horrendous storm now sweeping across the regular part of Alabama, just not quite the panhandle. And there's even some rotation in some of the storms that are at the southernmost edge of that, about Jackson vicinity. So this is a part of the system that we are expecting to get later on today and throughout the day and overnight tonight. And, you know, we are under a severe thunderstorm watch right now from the National Weather Service until 11 a.m. Escambia and Santa Rosa and Okaloosa and everybody in the whole area. And we're looking at the possibility of 3 to 5 inches of rain. We're looking at flash flood possibility. We're looking at hail possibility. We're looking at the tornado possibility. So we're a 3 on the 1 to 5 scale. So just, you know, today is one of those days to pay attention and not get caught off guard and, you know, without your preparedness. And particularly because, you know, if a tornado is in the offing, you got to be quick to get to that interior room. That's all I'm saying. 5:57, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The controlled demolition of debris that's on that cargo ship that hit Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge is going to take place later today. That operation was postponed over the weekend due to weather concerns. They'll be using explosive charges to break the debris apart so it can be refloated and clear the channel. Another day in court today for former President Donald Trump as his trial resumes in New York today. Former lawyer Michael Cohen expected to take the stand. And actor Steve Buscemi on the mend. Apparently he was randomly attacked in Manhattan. Police say he was just walking on Wednesday when somebody slugged him in the face. He was treated for bruises and a bloody eye.
Wow, that's awful. And yet, can I also...
I know.
It's Steve Buscemi. Come on now.
That's what I said.
No. I mean just people... He just kind of looks like the sort of person... And he is, as an actor, like he's kind of... Anyway, no, you can't justify violence. And I'm not trying. I'm just, you know, we try to find humor where we can. Give him a year, he'd probably laugh at it, too.
Oh, probably.
Just probably not right away. 5:58 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. If you have air conditioning, heating, electrical, or plumbing needs of any kind, Peden, they will take care of you. They've been expanding lately because they take such good care of people. Of course, based in Pensacola for a long time. But they've been expanding east all the way to Tallahassee, west to Baldwin County last year, and this year into Mobile. So they have done a lot of expanding because people are satisfied. They take such good care of them, professional, do the service right the first time with the right quality products, and then, you know, give you a 100% satisfaction guarantee. During the month of May, get the best prices of the year on Briggs & Stratton standby generators before storm season begins. Get $2,500 off through this entire month. Also, to celebrate 55 years in business, Peden is offering a complete air conditioning tune-up for $55. Call today, schedule your $55 AC tune-up at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N. .com. Bands on the Beach tomorrow night. That's right, Bands on the Beach tomorrow night. It's going to be the, what is the date today? It's going to be the Modern Eldorados tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Beach Ball, the Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. We'll be back in just a minute. The Llama Drama.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.